Due to the sheer volume of money collected, the process of counting it and reconciling it was enormous. Dennis Murphy recalls the task of dealing with the cash to ensure that the system was a very secure one.
All the money each day was collected at the end of the shift. The toll collector would go into what we call the pay-in room and they would count their money. And we had what they call a cash dissection form that they used to fill in and record their denomination of all their notes. And with their coin, it's just we just put the coin into one big bag and we just weighed the bag. Everything was sealed. The bags were sealed with a special seal and it had a reference number on it. That was all recorded on the toll collector's form. And then a group leader, supervisor, would oversee everything and sign off that he's overseen the content. And then all the money then is put into what they call a drop chute, which is just a hole in the wall. And they put the money into that drop chute and it drops down into a safe. So it's a one-way drop chute. The next day, the cash room will collect that money out of the safe and count that money. So we'll count the money one day after the event.
Richard Power describes the atmosphere in the coin counting room.
They had three or four large coin counting machines into which they dumped all the coins out of one bag or all the coins out of one stainless steel vault, and they just rattled around up and counted the money into different denominations. When it was in full swing, it was very noisy. It was very physical too. You not only had to be smart with figures, but you had to be strong too, because you had to pick up every bag and pick up every coin vault, not just once.
Ken McKay reflects on his early years, soon after he joined the Department of Main Roads, as the RTA was known at that time.
When I started as a boy, one of the early jobs that I had as a junior clerk was one day I said, oh, you're on pay escort duty, you've got to go up to the bank. So I went in the car up to the Bank of New South Wales then, up in Castlereagh Street, and they gave me a pistol and they said, you stand outside the bank with a pistol in your pocket. I thought to myself, if you did that today, you'd be arrested. When I got there, we were doing our own banking, and some kid, you know, in a combi van, you know, get in the take the money down to the Westpac Bank down in Wynyard. And I thought, oh, this can't go on. So and that's when I engaged a contractor to do all the cash carrying for us. It was all fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants stuff.
The system of counting and auditing the toll takings for each collector and reconciling this against the daily printout of registrations for each collector made for a very secure system. While small discrepancies were tolerated as a matter of human error, larger discrepancies were investigated by an investigations officer who would determine whether it was a matter for further criminal investigation. While most toll collectors were honest in their dealings, there were a number of people who were dismissed or prosecuted for stealing toll money. Rudy Englert started as a toll collector on the Sydney Harbour Bridge in 1989 and recalls the following.
I even was there one day when 12 o'clock the police came and took him to the station. He was a group leader, actually. When he was on duty, there was money missing out of the automatics. And they couldn't work out how, because when you pull the vault out, that little sliding door is shut. And there's no way you can take money out of it. But he managed somehow to keep that little door open. And he put his hand in, got a few hands of coins out of there, you know. And that's one day they installed a camera. And when he was on duty, they watched him all night. He was on night shift then, and that was it. They got him.
Collecting tolls on the Sydney Harbour Bridge could be physically and emotionally demanding. The work involved standing in a confined space, exposed to all weathers, for hours on end during the cold winter months and the scorching summer days. Here's Jude Singerea reflecting on some of the challenges and some of the dangers of the job.
At the beginning, we had a lot of pollution. There, especially when you had those state transit buses, they had those exhaust pipes right at the bottom, and every time they pass through, they send a hell of a lot of fume into the cabins. And that time, the cabins' conditions were very poor. There were no proper doors, so we used to have a timber covering that bottom piece so that the fumes doesn't come in. And also, most of the old vehicles had plenty of fumes. So, and then you can feel that fumes you are inhaling, and end of the day you feel very thirsty and you feel like drinking water all the time. We started complaining to the management, and they started doing all these tests, and sometimes there were certain problems in certain cabins were high on pollution and certain cabins were good, and gradually they had to process what is the best solution. Then they had to fix air conditions and also what you call the air purifiers and exhaust fans. So in case there is a vehicle comes with pumps in a lot of fumes, then you can press the exhaust fan and that sucks all the air outside. At the beginning, the cabin's conditions were so bad, and when it rains, the water beats into the cabins and you are virtually standing on water. Everything is wet, and your money, everything. And people come with a $10, you got to very, because all the money is wet, is stuck together. So it was really, really hard to work. Later, we improved the cabins. We designed the cabins in a different way. The big issues were the speeding motorist, because there were few collectors have hurt themselves. One of the collectors' arm was pulled, and he had to retire on medical grounds because he couldn't work anymore. And there was another collector. What happened was there was a delay in the traffic. The reason is the if someone doesn't have money, then we had to give them a deferred toll. So that docket, we got to write many details on it. The date, the time, the vehicle number, color of the vehicle. So it takes a couple of seconds. So there was a truck driver, he was getting annoyed because he's getting delayed. So when he came, his turn came, he grabbed the collector's arm and chewed, bit the two fingers. And those two fingers were really gone, like it was looking like mincemeat. And he punched him, and he punched his high.
And here's Ken Mackay describing another potential danger of working on the bridge.
I remember not long after I got there, the far left-hand toll booth in the main toll plaza at the Rocks, which is just adjacent to the toll office, a truck came down and mounted the barrier, and the truck went up the barrier and climbed up the glass, shattered the glass but didn't enter the toll booth, so the toll collector just got a bit of glass on him. So survived, and I know it took about 3 hours to get the truck off it. They had to pull in a whopping big vehicle crane to get him off, and fouled up traffic for hours.
Dennis Murphy recalls a couple of other mishaps and incidents that had to be dealt with by toll staff.
Yes, a fire hydrant on the bridge. One of the main valves had busted. Just beside the toll booth was shooting water 20 or 30 feet up into the air. And just virtually just flooded the top plaza with water. So we had to block that lane. And then we had to try and get plumbers in as quickly as possible, stop the traffic from going down that. I had to arrange for tow trucks to come and start blocking some of the lanes off. And then we had to divert people away from it and put them into lanes that they would normally not travel in. We've had other incidents. We've had cars catch fire. It's surprising how many cars catch fire at a toll booth. And some of them are new cars as well. And we've had to just kind of roll them away from the toll plaza, and we had fire extinguishers on the plaza, so many staff were trained for those emergencies. We've had incidents where motorists have injured staff, and we've had to close the thing down. Some of the motorists, some of them there, they've grabbed the staff's hand as they drive off and pull the staff member out of the toll booth, out through the window. We've had others where they've had hot coins and put them into the staff's hand. We've had other incidents where they've pointed a gun at the staff, but it actually turned out to be toy pistols, water pistols, and fired them at lady toll collectors, which virtually traumatised the toll collector.
The threat of robbery was yet another occupational health and safety issue for those working on the Sydney Harbour Bridge. Rudy Englert recalls that while working as a toll collector, one of his collectors was robbed.
Actually, that's funny. He gave change. That fella came out of the car and said, "Oh, I dropped my money." And the collector opened the door, which he's not supposed to do, and tried to give him a hand to look for the money. And while the collector looked for his money, he grabbed his notes from the board There's a board with the clips in it, and he grabbed all the notes. And he put them in the car, hopped in, and he took off. And he was gone. And it was a stolen car too.
By the 1990s, toll booths were fitted with a security button which directly alerted police of a robbery attempt.